counterattack. We settled into our holes for the night, feeling more at ease off the line and in a quiet area. My foxhole partner had the first watch, so I dropped off to sleep, confident that we would have a fairly quiet night. I hadn't slept long before he woke me with, "Sledgehammer, wake up! The Nips are up to something." Startled, I awoke and instinctively unholstered my .45 automatic. I heard a stern order from an NCO. "Stand by for a ram, you guys. 100% alert." I heard heavy artillery and small arms firing up on the line. It seemed to come mostly from the area beyond our division's left flank, where Army troops were located. The firing directly forward had increased, too. Our artillery shells swished overhead in incredible numbers. It wasn't just the usual harassing fire against the Japanese. There was too much of it for that. "What's the dope?" I asked nervously. "Beats me," said my buddy. "But something sure the hell's going on up on the line. Nips probably pulling a counterattack." From the increasing fire, enemy as well as friendly, it was obvious something big was happening. As we waited in our holes, hoping to get word about what was going on, heavy machine gun and mortar fire broke out abruptly some distance to our right, to the rear of where the 1st Marines line reached the sea. From our little mound we saw streams of American machine gun tracers darting straight out to sea under the eerie light of 60-millimeter mortar flares. That could only mean one thing. The enemy was staging an amphibious attack, trying to come ashore behind the right flank of the 1st Marines, which was the right-hand regiment on the 1st Marine Division's line. "The Nips must be pulling a counter-landing, and the 1st Marines giving them hell," someone said tensely. Could our comrades in the 1st Marine Regiment stop that attack? That was the question on everyone's mind. But one man said confidently in a low voice, "The 1st Marines'll tear their ass up, betcha." We hoped he was right. With no more than we knew, it was clear that if the Japanese got ashore on our right flank and counterattacked heavily on our left and front, our entire division might be isolated. We sat and listened apprehensively in the darkness. As if things didn't seem grim enough, the next order came along. "Stand by for possible Jap paratroop attack. All hands turn to. Keep your eyes open." My blood felt like ice water throughout my body, and I shuddered. We weren't afraid of Japanese paratroopers as such. They couldn't be any tougher to deal with than veteran Japanese infantry. But the fear of being cut off from other U.S. troops by having the enemy land behind us filled us with dread. Most nights on Peleliu, we had to keep a sharp lookout to front, rear, right, and left. But that night on Okinawa, we had to scan even the dark sky for signs of parachutes. We lived constantly with the fear of death or maiming from wounds. But the possibility of being surrounded by the enemy and wounded beyond the point of being able to defend myself chilled my soul. They were notorious for their brutality. A couple of Japanese planes flew over during the night. We recognized the sound of the engines, and I experienced a dread I had never known before. But they passed on without dropping parachutists. They were bombers or fighters on their way to attack our ships lying offshore.